Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Kick to start the half. Jaden Harrison might get a chance here. Going to bring it out from his own 2-yard line. Cuts it inside, takes it out to the far side, across the numbers, along the far sideline. Jaden Harrison hits the Jets across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. It's a touchdown.
Yes.
Kickoff return from Jaden Harrison. He waited all season long, and golden is thy fame. What a return to start the second half, and Notre Dame leads 19-3.
The Notre Dame Radio Network, it would be 20-3, and that wasn't all she wrote, but it was pretty close because the Notre Dame defense was so stifling.
It was 20-10, and Georgia had the ball at midfield and was rolling.
Yeah, after they got a stop on a very close fourth down call, but then Georgia's offense couldn't capitalize.
Yeah, and so it did feel like it almost became a game, like it was threatening to become a game. Georgia just wasn't good enough to make it a game.
I mean, the welcome to the show, by the way, Maggie Gray and Japrell. We just jumped right into it because there's so much to talk about from Notre Dame beating Georgia last night. They move on to the Final Four, the semifinals, and this is the first time that Notre Dame has won a major bowl game in 31 years. Now, that doesn't mean they haven't made the national championship game in that time. They've been to the college football playoff twice, but they have not won a major bowl game in 31 years.
Wait. So I know technically it's a bowl game, but we're not really talking about this like it's a bowl game.
Well, we can talk about that later on. The confetti is falling. They're calling it the All-State Sugar Bowl. I don't know. It feels like a bowl game, but it's a college football playoff game, obviously, and there's more to do for Notre Dame, which is where we start today. And the question is, can Notre Dame win it all? Now, why don't you go first?
The answer is no. I mean, things could not have fallen better for them. They got an Indiana team that shouldn't have been here and a Georgia team with a backup quarterback. And still, I saw a very, very, very good defense yesterday.
Yes.
A lot of pros. I saw a non-functioning offense that there's no way they can beat Ohio State if they play like that.
Okay. Ohio State, as I said yesterday, it's their tournament to lose. Maybe nobody's beating Ohio State.
That's why. But you asked, can they win the title? So that's what's looming, theoretically.
Yes. And, you know, again, I'd put Ohio State now, and how could you not? They scored 41 points, then 42 points. You know, they took care of Tennessee. Obviously, you know, what they did against Oregon, it's just been beyond impressive for the Buckeyes, how they've turned this around since that loss to Michigan. But if I'm looking at Notre Dame, don't look at the offensive counting numbers. Don't look at if you look at the box score and you simply went off the box score, you would say this is not a good enough team to win the national title.
Right.
But if you watch the game, sometimes the numbers tell the story, Prof, and sometimes they don't. Because there is a formula here how Notre Dame can actually win the national title, which is the defense is as good as anybody. You'll admit that.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, defense is as good as anybody.
Yeah, but
State is their best defensive player is injured right now. Abdul Carter, we don't even know what his status is and how effective he could be if he plays at all.
Wait, I'm not going to admit the defense is good anyway. Because what's the best offense they played this year?
They just played Georgia last night.
Right, with a backup quarterback.
Okay, but Georgia still has, forgive the pun, dogs everywhere else. They were the preseason number one team in the country. You can't just dismiss it. Carson Beck, by the way.
You can dismiss what you saw last
night. Are you 100% sure that if Carson Beck was in there last night, it would have been a different outcome?
Yes.
Nobody can say that who watched Georgia.
Yes, you would have had two more turnovers and two more touchdowns. Yes, I'm being dead serious.
It would have been more entertaining, maybe.
But you would have had a lot going. Yeah, no, I do think not having Carson Beck made a massive difference
in this
game.
Guy's making his first start ever in a college football playoff. But I think that Notre Dame does have that elite. And by the way, their rankings nationally would tell you that they do have an elite defense.
But I don't understand. Like, what was the numbers tell the whole story? They had nothing in their deck except for Riley Reynolds scrambling.
Yeah.
That's it. It's the only play they had.
Yes.
Only play they had.
And I've seen, now granted, Riley Leonard is not in this person's caliber, but I've seen people like Cam Newton. He's not in Cam's caliber. Yeah. Okay. But I've seen scrambling quarterbacks be able to be effective in college football. And I just watched last year a Michigan team that basically did this whole blueprint. Their quarterback didn't throw.
Yeah, but he didn't run every play.
Well, that's because they had some better running backs. I mean, maybe for Riley Leonard, if Jeremiah Love is not, hopefully not very hurt, the interior of that Georgia defense, for as down as Georgia was this year, the interior of that defense is dynamite. The only way that Notre Dame was able to move the ball was when they got out into the edges, and then they talked about it on the broadcast.
But the interior of that defense got run over by Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech ran for 400 yards against the interior. That defense is actually great on the edge.
But not last night.
I don't know. Yeah, their defense was great on every way. I mean, Notre Dame scored 23 points. One was a return.
Yep.
And one was on a 12-yard field. They didn't have a touchdown drive all game. I mean, Georgia's defense was fine. I just worry, like, can Notre Dame pass the ball at all? Like, that's like everybody. I mean, it's not just Notre Dame. Like, this entire 12-team playoff seems utterly, every team is flawed. It's weird, except for Ohio State.
Okay, so Ohio State right now. But, you know, there is a part of me that is a tiny bit in the back of my head. I'm like, ooh, when is something lurking with Ohio State? Are they going to revert back at some point? Do I fully trust Chip Kelly, the coaching staff, blah, 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 whatever. So, like, Ryan Day still hasn't, you know, we still have questions about him winning big games, even though they've looked beyond impressive in the last two games. And now you have Notre Dame going up against James Franklin.
Yeah, that's, I mean, this is a great path.
Okay. So if we think that, and listen, I'm not actually sure that Penn State is beatable. I think on the Penn State offense is definitely operates at a higher level right now than what the Notre Dame offense is doing. But defensively, again, Abdul Carter, if he's not there, there is a path here where Notre Dame makes it to the national championship game. And then you're in the national championship game.
And so what?
And Ohio State could get tight. Anything could happen. Your quarterback could get hurt. Something. You never know.
I knew when Manti Te'o and Notre Dame were going against Alabama. Well,
that was a different Alabama team.
So you better bet at Notre Dame then because you get good odds.
I'm thinking about it. I am because I see, you're right, teams that look flawed. I see also a path that has worked in the past that can win you a college football.
Like, that's a really interesting
defense
point.
Awesome. Quarterback not really, they hit the quarterback being one-dimensional, put it that way.
Well, I mean, you need a Vince Young or, I mean, even Cam Newton didn't really score that much in that national title game. That is not necessarily the rule like that. And Riley Leonard is good, but he's more like a 9-yard run where Vince Young was breaking 60-yard runs.
I get it.
The one thing, I think Penn State and Notre Dame, they are just going to get into the trenches and punch each other for 60 minutes. That is going to be a slugfest physical game. I mean,
totally.
I was surprised that Notre Dame is a little bit favored in that game. I think that's a reflection of James Franklin versus now Marcus Freeman's like the coach.
I know.
It's like the NFL wants out Marcus Freeman. Like, you're right. Notre Dame, give him full credit. Like, that is a tough football team.
855-212-4227. If you want to get in on this conversation, can Notre Dame win a national title? Now, here's the other part where I actually am bullish on Notre Dame right now. Granted, Ohio State looks like the best. I get it. But here's why I'm bullish on Notre Dame right now. They had 10 penalties last night. They still won this game. They were winning in ways and margins that were extremely impressive. Special teams was airtight. Play calling, you know, being able to pick up generally. Well, they actually didn't even really convert on third down that much. I mean, there was, again, you look at the box score. This is going to look like it was a draw. And the fact of the matter
is, I mean, it looks like Georgia outgained them until that last drive. They were outgaining them significantly for most
Georgia
of the game.
Couldn't run the ball at all. I mean, there was nothing on the ground. I mean, there's been nothing on the ground for Georgia all this year.
But it was like 310 to 180 or something. Like, Georgia could move the ball. It was mistakes. I mean,
drops.
There was the end of that half and the beginning of the second half. That was just an utter disaster.
Right, so the end of the first half where they kick a field goal and then literally they get a strip sack, fumble, recover. Next play, Notre Dame scores a touchdown, and then first play out of halftime is a kick return for a touchdown, and that made it 20-3. It did become 20-10, but Notre Dame's defense was too good, I think, to give up that kind of lead.
I don't. I think a couple things happened. I think Gunnar Stockton made a lot of plays. Like, he was valiant effort, but I don't think he totally had the offense organized like a veteran
would. How could he be?
And
maybe we were expecting too
much. Yeah, and secondly, like, give Notre Dame credit for getting all those first downs and milking the clock. I thought Georgia's defense was a little like, you should not just spy Riley Leonard, you should have three guys spying. And then what happened? He jumped over
the
hurdle guys. But it was so obvious to me that there, at the end of the second quarter, there was a series where Riley Leonard dropped back and Georgia's sent the house every play. They're like, I'm going to send eight guys out. Like, do that all game. They should have been more aggressive. I think they're going to look back at the tape and said, wow, we had an opportunity here because Notre Dame's passing game wasn't clicking at all. Not that it usually does. And their run game wasn't clicking at all. Like, they had an opportunity to really force something. Notre Dame made the plays. They did not.
855-212-4227. EJ, can we throw it up on the poll, please? Can Notre Dame win the national title? Yes.
Well, that's not
or
a,
no.
Is that a poll? Can they win the national title?
Can they? What did I say? Will they?
Well, I'm just saying, can they? Yes, technically, they've. Who could say no to that? Do you think Notre Dame will win the national title? It's a fair poll. Can they? Technically, yes. Of course they can. I mean, they're. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Okay.
Do you think Notre Dame will win the national title?
There you
go. Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
I mean, Maggie,
it doesn't
agree
matter. Whatever we put up on a poll on Maggie and Perloff on X, Perloff's going to put up his own poll on Andrew Perloff on X just to get the results.
Well, who would answer no? Can Notre Dame win the national title? No, they cannot.
Oh, people who think Ohio State and Texas are way better than them.
Yeah.
I hear you. Yeah.
People hate Notre Dame. People
put up two polls. I'll see what the various results are.
So
there's no charge. It's free.
We're just a
it's
polling
free.
Place.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you guys know the science of polling is very important.
Thankfully, we're in the past for that. Election season is over. We get a little bit of a reprieve.
Oh, I thought you meant that polling is in the past because it clearly doesn't work anymore.
that too. That's a different show.
Yeah.
There's another part of this. So we're asking you, can Notre Dame win the title? Do you think Notre Dame will win the title? However you want to slice and dice that one.
No.
The other question, and we'll get into Georgia, the postmortem on Georgia. We know we're on in Atlanta. I'm sure there's a lot of people who are frustrated by how this entire season went because they needed comeback wins. The losses were frustrating. Mm-hmm. It just did not feel even close to a dominant Georgia season, obviously.
Oh, God.
Now, they still won the SEC, but the...
Yeah, they were a mess this year.
this was just not an awe-inspiring Georgia year, even though they're still going to send a lot of guys to the NFL. And again, they still did win the SEC. Is Notre Dame likable now? Not since the movie Rudy came out have I seen this many people giving two thumbs up to Notre Dame. Notre Dame is one of those Duke, New York Yankees, you know, Dallas Cowboys type of franchises where people love them or hate them. I do believe that. They elicit a response. That's why it's a big deal when they lose to Northern Illinois, and we dunk on them for that, or we whatever. You know what I mean. They are one of those types of programs where people love them. People love to root against them. I think that's changed a little bit. It's either Marcus Freeman is a guy's profoundly easy to root for. Maybe Brian Kelly's gone. I can't put my finger on why it does feel like Notre Dame felt like you were rooting for the underdog. Maybe because the SEC has kind of been jammed down our throats a little bit as sports fans. Just, the SEC is so dominant. So it kind of turned Notre Dame into a little engine that could, like,
but
what are we talking about?
I think it's regional, though. I mean, I think obviously Notre Dame's popular in New York. It's popular in Chicago. I don't think the rest of the country is as focused on, and they're Notre Dame fans everywhere, but I do feel like they fell off the status. They're not Duke or the Yankees. Like I think they're kind of a mid-level ACC team now. Like they don't play real games. You know, they play a lot of Navy and Army. Like
they play USC though. They started the season at Texas A&M.
Again, real games against good programs.
Okay, well,
good programs.
Well, but I mean, USC though has a stature.
I just think like there's been like the SEC. You're right. Maybe you could argue SEC's been jammed down our throats, but they have really like dominated the scene for the last 20 years.
The SEC.
Yeah, well, I mean, or like especially the last 10 years. And now that NIL is here, the Georgia and Alabama thing is gone and it opens up the floor for a team like Notre Dame. Like, I don't think if you didn't have NIL and transfer portal, you wouldn't be having everything that's going on right? It'd still be Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State and Oklahoma or whatever. I don't. But I don't know. I don't feel like they're dominant enough to be in the Yankee Duke likable, non-likable conversation. I think they've fallen off. I could be totally wrong, but like Duke has Cooper Flagg. Like they have the best. Like who does Notre Dame have?
Well, but when it's about football, it can sometimes be about one guy, but football isn't like basketball where it's just, hey, I want to root against J.J. Redick, or I want to root against Grayson Allen, or, you know, Christian Laettner, if you want to go back in the day, Bobby Hurley. I feel like with football, you're more like, it's a little bit more about the whole team and as opposed to one player.
But when Notre Dame was like the premier program in the country, even the last time they were, like not the 70s, like the 80s, like they had Rocket Ismail.
Sure, sure.
And they had, you know, they got the top quarterback every year. They had Brady Quinn and they had Paulus. And they like not that he was that good, but I'm just saying, like they
Jimmy Clausen,
like they had big stars.
Yep.
This team is a different, kind of different team. I just think they haven't won in so long. I think if this team wins a national title, then everyone's going to be back on it. But I'm not sure they're at that status to be like, is Notre Dame still like the team in college football? And I don't know, maybe if they win this thing, they will be it. But you still think like they're a top one or two program? We'll see. I mean, I feel like ESPN like called down the officials and said, you better get Georgia back in this game last night. I think Georgia's a big brand too. I don't think like Notre Dame is above like a unique brand anymore.
Okay,
but if they win this title, they will be.
Listen, you're right. Georgia is also a huge brand, but Georgia is definitely more regional. That's not a disrespect, but they are more of a regional brand. Notre Dame, I mean, you are coast to coast Notre Dame. And I know I'm not trying to make every story a media story because I know that's our world, but they are the only team that has their own television network.
Yeah, but that like, deal is like kind of wonky now.
But it makes them stand apart. Like clearly there is a value where even, you know, Texas, I guess, had the Longhorn Network, but that was even under the umbrella of NBC or ESPN rather. NBC is just invested in Notre Dame.
Right. But
period.
NBC, like, it's not a college football station.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is the one place they're putting their money is they want to make sure they're renewing. The guy who's running athletics at Notre Dame now is a former executive at NBC. I mean, they're,
well, yeah, but NBC's like the old man network. They're like hockey, you know.
Sunday Night Football. Like,
yeah.
The
they're just like
ratings.
That's NBC. Like, I just
in
think
the
like
Olympics.
The last time that this was a go around of, you know, like the money was up. Everyone's like, God, I got to get in the SEC. I got to get in the SEC. Like, that's where the big money was. NBC is sort of like, I'm going to stay in my lane with, I know they got rid of hockey, but generally, like, they like certain things. Like, but regardless, it doesn't matter. I'm just thinking, like, I think there's been a shift towards where Alabama and Georgia have become these big national brands. I mean, Georgia's not a region. There's nothing regional. They're like an NFL team. But now the NIL's here, that's all gone. Like, it fell apart faster than I could have ever expected.
By the way, when I say regional, I by no means mean small potatoes, okay? I'm not saying that's, oh, this little North, South, East, West University. No, it's Georgia. I get it. But to me, Notre Dame has, because I think of the religious affiliation, has always had just a broader, broader fan base than Georgia or I mean, think how many championships Alabama had to win to become the national brand. And you have to have the history with Bear Bryant all that stuff.
Alabama has always been big.
You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, Alabama, and like Notre Dame is iconic. Probably the most, I'd say Alabama, Notre Dame, and USC are the three most iconic. I would say Michigan, I guess. I don't know. I mean,
definitely. They're one of the winningest programs in the history of college football. Their history goes back over 100 years.
Yeah, but Alabama with Bear Bryant and all that, like, had a lot more titles, I think, than Michigan. How many titles does Michigan have?
I think they are tied for the most ever.
Oh, within Alabama.
Yeah, but you got to go back to, like, the 30s and stuff. But again, we're veering away from the topic. How this started is asking the question, is Notre Dame likable now? You know? And, you know, when the movie Rudy came out, I don't want to underestimate how big that was in the 90s. That film was just gangbusters. But again, people like to root against Notre Dame. I found that now they seem almost like a very likable upstart. They felt like an underdog last night to Georgia, and they took it to them.
Did they feel like an underdog? Like, I was
confused.
They were
1.5 point, I think, it closed.
Yeah, so I didn't feel like they felt like a Rudy team.
No.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
Well, that Rudy team at Joe Montana.
Also, and we'll get in a later show, like, something feel funny about the format of this 12-team playoff. Like, it doesn't feel, are we crowning the real national champion, or is it like the NCAA tournament where anybody could win depending on the matchups? It does feel like, because I said in the breakfast show, I'm like, I can't believe Penn State and Notre Dame are playing at this level, like, because I haven't really seen them play the perfect game. I don't know. It's weird. Like, Penn State's in here. Like, what are they? I have no idea who they are. I have no idea what's going to happen to Notre Dame-Penn State. I don't have the slightest idea which teams show up.
855-212-4227. All right, so we've got two things on the table for you. Number one, can Notre Dame win the national title? And two, is Notre Dame now likable? 855-212-4227. If you're someone who roots for Notre Dame, do you notice the bandwagon getting a little full? And if you're somebody who rooted against Notre Dame, do you find yourself kind of pulling for the Irish now? Good morning to our Infinity Sports Network affiliates. We're obsessed with you. We think about you all the time. It's a deep bond. Sirius XM channel 158. You can watch the show. YouTube.com/InfinitySportsNet, Twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and on X at Maggie Gray.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. Maggie, I was doing some math in the break.
Oh, boy.
Simple math that I probably screwed up anyway. The four-team playoff lasted 10 years, 2014 through 2023. Guess how many times Georgia or Alabama were in the final game?
Oh, gosh. Besides them and Clemson, it was probably most of the time.
Yeah, 7 out of 10 times.
Yeah.
And now that we have NIL and the portal, I feel like that ain't happening anymore. Like, the sport has, we knew everything was going to change, but all of a sudden, Alabama obviously lost Nick Saban, but they've taken a step back. And Georgia, I think maybe they're headed down. There's a lot of reports that Georgia and Alabama don't have money like these other schools for whatever reason. Because you think about it, like, you know, the teams at like a school like SMU, like, there's a lot of money in Dallas, Texas. Like, all of a sudden, everybody can compete with those teams. And I saw last night a Georgia team that is, I don't think their trajectory is up from here.
Yeah, but I'd be careful about that because...
Really? That's so funny. I feel very confident in this take.
Well, I mean, let's wait and see because, first of all, Gunnar Stockton, in his first ever start to be thrown in to the college football playoff quarterfinals, tough assignment, right?
Right.
Couldn't really get the team organized at the line of scrimmage as well as probably Carson Beck could have, but he looks like he's the guy for next year. I mean, the dude's got talent. He definitely has ability.
Oh, yeah.
So that's that. You got your quarterback set. I guess I'm just not ever going to be too worried about a Georgia defense until I have reason to be. While Kirby Smart is out as coaching this team, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that this defense is going to be stout. And listen, it's not like Notre Dame was airing the ball out. I mean, this was a. They got a good defensive play that set them up at the 13-yard line, and they got a kick return for a touchdown. That was the difference in the game.
I don't know. I mean,
as far as scoring,
yeah, they've had moments, but then again, remember that I mentioned earlier the Georgia Tech game, that was a disaster. The Alabama game early in the season, that was a disaster. There is just I don't know if that defense is as consistent as it once was because they used to have, as everyone's pointed out, used to go four deep with NFL players at every position. That ain't happening anymore.
This was an air quotes down year for Georgia. They won the SEC.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm not, you know.
But do you think like Georgia, and let's group Alabama in there, like, do you see Georgia and Alabama being like the 1-2 moving forward? I feel like it's going to be like NCAA basketball where you're going to see a lot more rotation though.
855-212-4227. I want to just wait and see here. Kirby Smart did call this the most challenging season of his career, I think he said. Now, maybe you're just in the moment. You just lost badly to Notre Dame. But
I mean, it's 2 years in a row you haven't made the title game.
Are we sounding the alarms?
I'm 100% sounding the alarm on them. They do not look like the team with Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and N'Kobe Dean and countless other guys. Like, I just don't, I think it's going to be hard to do what they did because they were so good. Remember the year they beat TCU? That was like an NFL team lining up against a college team. I just don't see that ever happening again. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment here, but the sport is, parity is here in college football.
We are asking you a couple poll questions off the game last night. Notre Dame beat Georgia in the Sugar Bowl. Well, number one, can Notre Dame win the national title? And secondly, a little more broad, is Notre Dame likable now? By everybody. They used to be very polarizing. Mel is in Dallas, has a thought on this. Good morning, Mel.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Yeah, Notre Dame is likable. They're not iconic. They are iconic in a certain way, but every college team is iconic. I mean, Bama's iconic. Georgia's iconic. When you win, you become iconic. Mm. And let me give you an example of that. You know, I live 15 minutes away from SMU. SMU was my team. I'm from Dallas. I'm from Oak Cliff. They killed my team for 10 years. And that did a detrimental effect to SMU's program. So when you start throwing all this money around, there's not going to be any superior Bama or anybody anymore. Because I guarantee you, when SMU's money ball gets to rolling, hey, you're going to see a different Dallas team. You're going to see a different LSU. I mean, SMU. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the Tigers and LSU, they're iconic.
Right.
Miami, they're iconic. They're all iconic in college. But when you put this money in here, you're going to take it to an NFL level, and they're not going to be any more of those teams anymore because you're going to be able to money whip this thing like crazy.
Yeah,
thank
Mel.
You. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, thank you, Mel. But you know what? As far as the money is concerned, Mel's got a great point. But as far as the money is concerned, I've seen a team that's got more money than any of us could ever dream of.
Who's that?
Texas A&M.
Yeah, I know.
And okay, what's going on with the Aggies? I don't see all these national championships that are hanging up over there.
I don't know. I mean, he's right. Like, SMU flooded in money, and boom, they hit immediately. And they are coming with Rhett Lashley. Oh, my God, that team is coming. And by the way, I think Duke paying for that quarterback, Duke's going to be in the picture. North Carolina is going to be in the picture. Oregon is going to spend like crazy. Ohio State's going to spend like crazy. There is so much. Now, I think he's
already
right.
spending like
no,
crazy.
No, I think the money, it's going to become a very, very different ballgame. Like, who's going to spend which programs? And I don't think it's obvious. I think it's going to be new programs are going to emerge. Obviously, just look at this year's playoff. We had Indiana, for God's sake, in the playoff.
Yeah, but you know what? That wasn't so much of a money thing.
That was a transfer.
That was
they got a
coaching
good coach.
Thing and a transfer portal thing. Kevin is in San Antonio, our pal. Are we sleeping on a certain team in the state of Texas when we're talking about who's winning the national title? Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing? Happy New Year. And this is really crazy. I'll piggyback on that first caller because it's dealing with the money.
Mm.
Now, what I'm saying is this. I love Texas. Don't get me wrong. I love Notre Dame. Get me wrong. Notre Dame is like the Rockies. People just hate them and all that. It's something about Notre Dame.
Yeah.
They ain't win it. They ain't won the championship a long time.
Yeah, I think it's like, I think there's a perceived arrogance about Notre Dame that not only, and Kevin, thank you for the call. Happy New Year, pal. Thank you. Kevin still sends us pictures of his breakfast every day to maggieandperloff@gmail.com. It's great. It's delicious. There's something about the arrogance of not only will we beat you at football, or we'll be very good at football, but you have to be a certain standard to play here, right? We're not accepting everybody. You can't have a 4 on your SATs and get into Notre Dame, right? Like, we are an academic, you know, institution as well. I think Duke has a little bit of that too, but let's be fair. Texas is an amazing school. Michigan's an amazing school. These are hard schools to get into. So I think that's, I don't know. I think that's where a little of the hatred comes from. It's like people think Notre Dame's arrogant.
Definitely. Definitely the gold helmet. By the way, Indiana spent $13 million last year.
That's not much.
That's a lot. It's a ton. They rank 11th. I'm just saying, like, money is going to flow in weird places in NIL.
Okay, but Ohio State spent $20 million.
Right. That's number one.
$7 million more.
Right. No. 13's huge. For NIL, like, that's a
okay,
big payroll for a college
team. You're saying
that
all this other money is going to flood in. Do you think Indiana's going to keep up?
Yes, I think it's going to be random. Yes, I do think Indiana, again, Duke is all of a sudden. Like, when has Duke football been a thing? They're going to be a thing. North Carolina is paying for Bill Belichick. When has that ever happened? It's coming. It is going to be bizarre. Mel was exactly right. SMU is going to, they're going to have a $25 million payroll probably in the future. And, like, that money is everything in this sport. Everything.
Yes. I believe when I called North Carolina a sleeping giant, I was laughed out of the room.
I think I'm the one who threw that question at Staples.
Well, but it was the idea that they are all it takes is a little bit of money to infuse into North Carolina. And I just want to say, we'll see.
Well, the thing about the sleepy giant thing with North Carolina is the SEC desperately wants them because they're just a premier. Everything about that school is like lucrative. Like, they're just a huge school in North Carolina. They have great academics. They have a great brand. They have a great logo. They've just never delivered in football. They've always had really good players, and they had Mac Brown, but they've never been able to get over that hump. They had a lot of violations, ironically. Yeah. So I do think, like, they do feel like a sleeping giant, and but Staples laughed at us, Mr. SEC.
I thought you laughed at it, too. I thought you were not a believer.
I said to Eddie Staples, I'm like, is Notre Dame...
Yes, but what did you think about it?
I just think North Carolina is always going to have more first-round picks and more violations than actual wins. Like, they had Mitch Trubisky and Drake May and Robert Quinn. Like, they've had great, great players. What's that?
Sam Howell.
Like, they've had great players come through there, but they've never been able to coalesce. Like, they are like a sleepy giant, but I don't think this Belichick thing, if I'm a great quarterback, I'm avoiding Belichick. That's where you and I disagree. Like, I don't want Josh McDaniels running my offense. I want to go to Lincoln Riley and get a Heisman and do all the flashy air raid stuff. That says a lot about me.
It's working out great for Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, but his players are like, if you're a quarterback, would you want to go play for Bill Belichick or Lincoln Riley?
Put that up.
I mean, Quinn Ewers is reportedly going possibly in the transfer portal. Like, if he doesn't run to USC, he's crazy.
Let's go to Bogish. He's got headlines, but you can answer that question. Would you rather pay for Bill Belichick or Lincoln Riley as a quarterback? Hey, folks.
Guys, good morning. Your headlines are sponsored by PXG for high-quality, high-performance golf clubs, apparel that delivers style and comfort, premium golf balls, award-winning gloves, and more. Make it a PXG holiday for the golfer in your life. Find the PXG store near you at PXG.com.
Well, I was a cute cart girl at a golf course in high school.
Enough of that. The Sugar Bowl was a 3-3 game until it wasn't.
Kick to start the half. Jaden Harrison might get a chance here. Going to bring it out from his own 2-yard line. Cuts it inside, takes it out to the far side, across the numbers, along the far sideline. Jaden Harrison hits the Jets across midfield. 40, 30, 20, 10. It's a touchdown.
Yes.
Kickoff return from Jaden Harrison. He waited all season long, and golden is thy fame.
As heard on the Notre Dame Radio Network, the Irish went field goal, strip sack, touchdown to close the first half, then the return TD to open the second. That was 17 points in 54 seconds of action. They led Georgia 23. They won the final quarterfinal this week 23-10. The Bulldogs did outgain the Irish 296 to 244, but only 62 rushing yards. They went 2 for 15 on third and fourth downs, and Kirby Smart's team also lost a fumble.
Don't beat yourself, and they did that. They did those exact things. Right? They got 2 turnovers, and we didn't, and they turned the kickoff for a touchdown. So we basically spotted them probably 14 points off of that.
Cool post-game echo chamber. Replacement QB Gunnar Stockton threw for 234 and a score. Notre Dame QB Riley Leonard accounting for 170 scrimmage yards with a passing TD. His team now joins Penn State in the Orange Bowl next Thursday night in a semifinal. They are 2 wins away from their first national title since 1988. Your college football nightcap was the Gator Bowl. Ole Miss, a 52-20 drubbing of Duke in Jacksonville. Rebs QB Jackson Dart, 404 yards, 4 scores in his final college game. Alabama QB Jalen Milroe, linebacker Jahad Campbell officially declaring for the draft yesterday. LeBron scored 38 in the Lakers' 114-106 home win over the Blazers. And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander posted 29, 8 assists in the Thunder's 116-98 decision over the Clippers. OKC's on a franchise record 13-game winning streak.
Wow, so LeBron now, can he score his age? That's an interesting...
In a game?
Yeah. Has he gotten to the 40 mark? I know he just turned 40. You said that headline the other day.
Yeah, like 3 days ago. Yeah. Him and Tiger have the same birthday. That always blows my mind.
That's pretty good. He scored 38 points at 40 years old. He's not bad.
I want my damn respect, too.
LeBron guy, pretty good.
Yeah. Still.
Well, can't find that kind of analysis anywhere.
I gotta be honest, old LeBron is like surprisingly good to me.
You finally appreciate him.
But he's 40
for now.
Well, I appreciate Monday that he's scoring. Like, I don't think he's winning. You know.
Did Kareem ever score his age? I feel like Kareem played till 40, right? He might have been able to score.
Yeah,
40.
I can't imagine like old Kareem was scoring 40 in a game. Like he was.
I can't think of another person though who was still scoring that late in their career. Like Vince Carter was.
Jamal Crawford was. No, Vince Carter stopped scoring altogether. He became a defensive specialist.
Yeah, right.
College hoops last night. Oregon basketball, like Oregon football, the ninth-ranked Ducks taking a 109-77 beating in Eugene from number 20 Illinois. And finally, get me to overtime in Denver.
What a play by Devon Taves! Gets the loose puck, breakaway for Taves. Here he comes! Yeah! Devon Taves completes the comeback for the second time this season. Colorado, like Lazarus, has come back from the dead against the Buffalo Sabres. And you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
On a Thursday night in January, Connor McGehee has radio Colorado downing Buffalo 6-5 after trailing 3-0 and 5-3. Thank you, Lazarus. Guys, back to you.
It's like Abel, stab Cain. Just only biblical references.
Out of the belly of a whale.
Sounded like me after a Nick win against the Jazz.
Man, just I wish I knew more biblical references. I could continue this joke, but I'm tapped out.
Is that, by the way, and I feel so dumb.
Oh, no, Cain killed Abel.
I thought Cain stabbed
and
Abel.
And I got that one wrong.
Yeah, oh, I was about to say, Abel stabbed Cain? What?
In my alternate universe, Abel had it coming.
Hey, I think Cain, brother of the Undertaker?
I think because I'm the younger sibling, maybe, than my retelling.
Your dreams.
Right? Isn't the older one killed? Was Cain older?
Cain was definitely younger.
Oh, okay, my bad.
I only know this because in the WWE, Cain is younger than the Undertaker. I'm just assuming they took that.
Didn't you also go to Catholic school?
Yes.
You're going with WWE making a biblical reference?
Yes.
Okay.
I think they take a lot of stuff. Everyone
Instead
does.
Of what he learned in theology.
Yeah, what a mark.
Bogus. You never heard the term, everything is wrestling? This is how I live my life.
Yeah. No, that's disappointing to hear.
Where do you think wrestling's coming up with all these storylines? Yeah, they're stealing from both the Old and the New Testament.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry about that, guys.
They're not stealing for the New Testament. They like the Old Testament better.
As the Torah foretold, Hulk Hogan is the Intercontinental Champ.
There's nothing to steal out of the New Testament from wrestling. Yeah, that's all peace and love. Like the old, like fire and brimstone
the wrath,
stuff.
Yeah.
Yes.
The fear of God, right?
Like when, the flood slowly raised and only one person survived in the rain. That's
yeah,
Noah.
Okay. Yeah. I would say the most famous wrestling like GIF or whatever social media is what? The Undertaker.
The Undertaker, yeah. Oh, you're right.
Sitting up.
You're right.
Literally in a coffin. Can I get it a little more on the nose for you?
Well, if we're being
I don't know if
historical.
The Undertaker and
no, you know what I'm
Jesus
saying.
Christ, that was the same,
yeah.
Same.
Jesus wasn't buried in a black suit and a top hat.
Yeah, I know. I don't think he wore eyeliner. I get it. I just think that, it's borrowing.
Huh. Easter Sunday wasn't that dramatic.
You different drama. Just keep in mind, listeners. Maggie said, "Yeah, like when Abel stabbed Cain."
I'm sorry, I went off the cuff and I shouldn't have.
But you could definitely take tag teams and put them on Noah's Ark. And since it was two animals, we have tag team wrestling.
Giraffe
and
versus elephant.
When Roddy Piper came down from the mountain with two tablets on his arms,
the Ten Commandments. Of wrestling.
That's like, by the way, like wrestling needs ideas. This is great.
EJ,
like,
you're welcome.
Might as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, wrestling reflects society. I'm down with EJ. Like, that's a good place to learn about what's going on.
Well, I was watching the Vince McMahon doc. It's, yes, how do we, this wrestling was basically, how did we feel about our foreign adversaries?
Yeah.
This is who you could tell was the villain 100%. Of wrestling.
100%. Yeah. Like, basically, like, international politics played out in the ring. The Iron Sheik went down.
Iron Sheik versus Hulk Hogan. How'd you think everything was going to end? They told you right there. 855-212-4227. I have waded into waters that I am out of my depth. Okay. Back to sports.
Yeah.
Coming up, is someone coaching their last game with the Dallas Cowboys? We get to that next.
It's Paul Bear!
You're listening to Maggie and Perloff on the Infinity Sports Network.
Yeah, that is the last time I tried to do any retelling of any Bible story. I couldn't even get Cain and Abel right. Welcome to the show. Sorry. I don't know why. I thought that Abel killed Cain. My bad.
No, you didn't. You just came out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now we know where Maggie's going.
Yeah, up or down.
But I think if anyone in pro wrestling thanks, was Manny. Listening, they're going to pick up the Old Testament today and be like, ooh, there's some good stories in here.
Yes, you're welcome, yeah. Wrestling. You can now go off Old Testament stories. Yeah, yeah. I don't even know how we got onto that. Anyway.
Yeah. Tag team of Job and Lot coming your way.
Isn't the Old Testament?
It was because the live call for hockey overtime said they rose like Lazarus from the dead. Like, yeah. What if they did only biblical calls? Anyway, that's the last time I'm ever going to bring that up. Let's get to the Cowboy Quickie. All right, well, merciful ending to the season coming for the Cowboys. On Sunday, Perloff, it's just been pretty much a disaster all the way around, from expectations being high and unmet to then injuries setting in, injuries to begin the season with defensive guys like Micah Parsons, injuries in the later part of the season with Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb is now on IR. Basically pretty bad. Now they go, the Commanders. The Commanders actually do have something to play for. So Washington is going to want to win this game to avoid the 7 seed if they can. Probably rather be the 6 seed and have to go to L.A. to play the Rams than be the 7 seed and have to go to Philadelphia and play your Eagles. Yeah. I would imagine that's on their mind. So sure. Washington is a 6-point favorite in this game. But the real question is about Mike McCarthy's future. Actually look like they have found a little life. Even with Cooper Rush, guys were still playing hard. But now the last game, really, I mean, blah.
Yeah.
That loss to Philadelphia was ugly.
That was ugly, yes. And we'll see what happens this weekend. I did my Athlon piece this week on the Cowboys' schedule next year. Ooh. Have you seen this thing?
No.
So they've had a top 10 easiest schedule 4 years in a row.
Really? Because they've won the division a couple times, and I'm surprised that they would have the easiest schedule. But go ahead.
Well, because the year that everybody was good in the NFC East, they played the AFC South. Mm. Next year, they have the NFC North, which is now like the dominant conference. They have all four teams. Then they have the four AFC West teams. Ooh. So you got Harbaugh, Peyton, Patrick Mahomes, Vikings, who I think might be good again, Packers with Jordan Love. So
Lions?
They've had nothing but easy schedules because their division is bad. And the Lions, I think it all comes apart next year. And they don't have... They've already said Trayvon Diggs is out for the beginning of this year. DeMario and Overshawn is out for the beginning of next year. And you keep saying Dak Prescott, you know, his injury was so serious. Is he ever going to be the same player? And they have all their cap. Like, it looks bleak. So, honestly, this is the time, in my opinion, to reset. Like, boom, rebuild. Just stop everything you're doing. Don't try and string out another win here. Don't rehire Mike McCarthy. I'm sorry, I think McCarthy is a good coach. But I would just start over with a program builder like a Jim Harbaugh. I know you can't get Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, right.
But just like, you know what? We're not going to continue like this. There's no pot of gold at the end of this rainbow. There's nothing. What are you looking forward to? They're not going to win the Super Bowl next year.
I think you're too far into this thing to all of a sudden blow it up. You have money committed to Dak Prescott, money committed to CeeDee Lamb. Micah Parsons needs a contract. You gave lots of money to Trayvon Diggs. You gave money to... someone else is big money also. Whatever.
Yeah.
So you already have core players that you envision as being part of their core who are locked up into big money deals. I'm sorry. You're in too deep. You can't pull the ripcord on this one. You got to keep going burrowing further and further down because Parsons is getting paid this offseason.
He's definitely getting paid. But really, you only have... three huge, massive contracts. It's CeeDee Lamb, Dak, and Parsons. You're right. Trayvon Diggs did get a lot of money.
$100 million.
But I think Lawrence's contracts come off the book, DeMarcus Lawrence. And I assume Zach Martin's going to retire. You're kind of young in other places, like your offensive line. I'm not so sure. You're totally right. You are stuck with these big contracts. But reality's going to hit you in the face here, Maggie. Like, I know you have these guys under contract, but, like, you don't have enough to win a Super Bowl. Like, you do not have the players.
Well, maybe they think they're a coach away. And I'm actually going to disagree with you. And I guess this could become a show bet, even though I've already lost a Dallas-related show bet that I have to pay off going to the Waffle House and eating waffles for 24 hours. I think McCarthy's coming back.
No.
Although I'm seeing reports now about Chicago maybe being interested in McCarthy.
I didn't say McCarthy wasn't coming back. I said that he shouldn't come back.
Oh, got it. Okay, never mind.
No. I was saying like they should act like they haven't acted in years and hit the reset button. They won't.
Coming up, was someone scapegoated in last night's Notre Dame-Georgia game?